me know that we live in a city community where the Latino population is continuing to increase. And most of the churches in San Diego are not really reaching out to Latinos. It's been my heart's desire for a long time to do so. And I believe God brought us a perfect person to begin to build that bridge of relationship in Selene. And I want you this morning to welcome Selene Gutierrez as she comes to bring the word today, because she's a preaching machine, you guys. So let's welcome Selene. Come, bring the word.
Good morning. How are we, how are you guys today? Are we excited today? I'm excited. Landon, welcome. Woo. All right. So for you guys that don't know me, I got an awesome introduction, only at Cross Point, right? My name is Selene. I'm here on staff. I'm here to serve at Cross Point and our Latino community in here in San Diego County. Amen. Let's get into this. I shouldn't even give this message anymore. Let's just all come to the altar. And it's such a powerful time. How many of you guys believe that? I mean, I really believe in prophetic acts, and I really believe the fact that we were just like hugging each other and everything. It was such a prophetic act for the nation. Amen. And I am excited to be in this house. I'm excited that we are so diverse in culture and generations and everything else. So let's open our Bibles really quick to 2 Kings. If you guys have your iPhones, your iPads, whatever you brought. For those of you guys who just know it by memory, that's fine too. Hey. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 through 21. Try to stand this thing. So you guys are going to help me out a little bit with the names. I'll tell you why. Because in Spanish, you say them one way, and then in English, I kind of have a little bit of trouble. So we're going to call this king, what is it, Joash? The King J. Okay. I was thinking about this since home. What am I going to call this king? Because I just am having a hard time pronouncing his name. So I'm just going to read. We're going to read chapter 13, verse 14 through 21. And some of you guys maybe know the story. If not, we'll just read along. It says, Elisha had become sick with illness of which he would die. Then King J of Israel came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times, then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only what? Three times." Then Elisha died and they buried him. And then it goes on to saying about the guy who resuscitates over him. So how many of us have thought about transition times, about new times, about things that are happening? I think Crosswind is it's in one of those moments right now. And I love it because in this story, we see the prophet is about to die, right? I don't know about you guys, but if my prophet was about to die, that, you know, tells me about wars and things like that, I'd be sad. I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, we don't have a prophet anymore. I'd have nobody to guide me or tell me where to go." So this king comes to the prophet, and what seems like a moment of retrieving, a moment of ending, a moment of something just closing down. How many of us can come in agreement and say it was a great moment of opportunity? Amen. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the upside down kingdom. It drives me nuts. You know, you must die so you can live. You might lose your life so you can gain it. You know, the poor is the rich. And it just messed with my head for so long. You know, it's like captive to your freedom. So there was a time where the prophet, you know, it's about to die, and one of the things that I realized when I read this story is that King Jay was not understanding what was happening in this season, what was happening in this moment, how much of a destiny moment this was. And how many of us, without raising our hands, can say we've gone through life without understanding moments, without understanding destiny of some areas or things that have happened in our lives. And instead of seeing them as opportunities, we've seen them as the end of the world. Yeah, I don't feel so bad then. So we see the prophet, and I want us to understand something this morning, is that the prophet tells him and gives him direction. He tells him, grab the bow, put your hand over it, and then the prophet comes and he puts his hand over his hand and the bow. How many of us can say that God's hand has been put over the assignment that God Himself has given us? Amen. So I see the anointing of God over this that He's about to do. Amen. How many of us have assignments that God has already put His hand over? So then verse 18 says, then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times. I can imagine this king nagging, like, oh my gosh, this prophet, he wants me to throw the arrow. Now he wants me to strike the ground. Okay, here we go. And he says that the man of God was angry with him and said he should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria and had destroyed it, but now you will strike Syria only three times. I don't know about you, but I'd say, watch me strike now. If my life depended on those strikes, and I find out this thing, I was like, watch me strike now. Right? If I knew that my debts would be resolved, I'd be striking that ground so hard. Tell your neighbor, watch me strike now. So what I want to share with you, family, today is this, that not only in times of transition, but even in our new beginnings, it's a time to hit the ground. See, I've come to an understanding that the weapon is not the problem. We've known in the Bible, and He gives us a list of our weapons. We know that war is not the problem. The Bible tells us, do not be surprised by the war. I come to find out is that it's the problem is of how hard are we striking the floor. So today I want to encourage you guys. I feel it's such a word for such a season. And I really want to, if our life would depend on a moment, if our life would depend on striking the ground, how would we be striking the ground now? If we knew that we're close to a revival, that we're close to seeing San Diego transform, how hard would we be striking the ground right now? If I knew that my family's salvation was so close right now, how hard would I be striking the ground? If I knew that my economic status is so close to changing, how hard would I be striking the ground right now? If we knew, Crosspoint, that we already know that God's about to do something crazy in this place, there's been words, there's been promises, there's great people here to do it. Now is not the time to go weary. Now is not the time to stop. Right now is the time, church, to strike the ground. Amen. Now is the time where I believe that there's a transferring of anointing, and God is about to pour out His Spirit over not only this church, but over this county. How is Crosspoint going to be striking the ground? One of the things that, as I was reading, is we read about Jesus, and we see how He was going up on Calvary. How many of you guys remember that? How many of you guys saw Passion of the Christ? So we see Him going up. We see Him carrying this cross, and we see the disciples, and we see the people, and the look on their face was this, like, oh, man, what was this guy thinking, right? The disciples, defeated, So we have a scenario here of Jesus, probably at its end. And we see that it's like, it seems like a scenario that it's just, everything is about to end, right? And Jesus is about to die, and everything's just going to be like, oh, well, it was nice following you this past 3 years. And we see the disciples being broken and sad, but they had forgotten that this was just the beginning. This was just the beginning. And one of the things that I see is that when Jesus dies, he strikes the ground so hard that the earth shook. The earth shook. And we saw some of the greatest things happening, amen? There was a new story. The story changed. There was something new about to happen. Jesus hit the ground the hardest ever. I don't know about you, but when I hit the ground, I do not create an earthquake. If you live on the second floor, it might sound like you did, but no. Amen. So Jesus does this. And then he comes and appears to the disciples, and we see him come alive. And then after this, we see him encountering these disciples who were all crushed. Remember, they were sad. He's seeing them, and he sees Mary Magdalene. He's like, hey, Mary, wake up. It's me. I'm here. I've told you guys I would come. And then after this, Holy Spirit comes. And every disciple from then on, what seemed like an end, remember, they all died as martyrs. But every time that one would die, thousands would come to Christ, right? So what seemed like an end was only a beginning. Amen. I don't know today, but I don't know where we're at, where you feel, but if you're in a place where you feel like you're coming to an end, or you're coming like, just the season is over, I have nothing else, let me tell you, it is the perfect place to be for opportunity to happen. It is the perfect place. And I loved person from Bethel said this, blessed are you when you don't have nothing and God is your only option. So this is what I want to encourage you, church. You know, when we see trees, when we see seeds, sometimes not all the time, they have to die so that something new can grow. Amen. So today I want to encourage you. How hard are we striking the ground? Right now, of what we just did a little bit ago, if you knew that that would end all the problems of your country, how hard would you have prayed? How hard would we have prayed? How hard would we have struck the ground? See, that I come to know that there's a difference. When we only know him because we have heard him, we say he cannot fail. But when we have met him and we come to know him in a deeper and become intimate with him, it is in those moments, church, that we say, he doesn't know how to fail. He doesn't know how to fail. His name is faithful. So in those moments where we might feel like, I'm down, I'm tore down, I don't know what to do. I know I'm believing for revival. I know I'm believing for a change in my husband, my wife, in my family, and whatever, in my job. We have to remember his name is faithful. He cannot fail. And therefore, I am going to come and I'm going to get courageous and I'm going to say there is nothing that I know that he won't fail. There's nothing that can change his mind about me. There is nothing that can change his plan for me. Therefore, I grab on hold to his promises, and I will strike the ground until I see my enemies defeated. I will strike the ground until I see revival. I will strike the ground until I see the promises of God coming through. He cannot fail. Is there water? My voice can fail. But he won't. I was looking at some pictures this weekend, and I'll close with this. I love, have you guys seen those little articles that can pop out on Facebook? Like, the weirdest look on that guy's face, the girl with the three eyes. trees that are weird. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So I was seeing this Facebook article pop out, and it was talking about the 10 most amazing trees. And I grew up with family that loves trees. My grandpa loves trees. My parents, they have a little balcony, and they filled it up with trees. I'm surprised that thing didn't fall off. All my friends that would visit, they're like, your parents have a little jungle in the back. True story. They love their trees. And my dad has no more space, and he continues to buy trees. So I click on this thing, and I see all these trees, and I see how these trees have overcome adversity. And I love the titles of the trees, because there was like a tree growing in between a rock. There was like trees growing out the side of buildings. There was like trees who, they were in like in the middle of the water on top of a rock, and literally the roots like made this little swing to the shore. And I'm looking in amazement for these trees. Like trees that like make their root system like all around concrete, little cuts and whatnot and bricks. And I was like, how amazing is this? And then I thought about Psalms 1:3 that says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And I love that the Passion Version says, they will be standing firm like flourishing trees planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of their lives. They are never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever plentiful. This, and I understood a little bit more of this verse. These trees did not give up in adversity, but they dug deeper. They went to the sides. They even jumped to get the nutrients they needed to get. They didn't give up. So if we are to be these trees, we must jump, we must do whatever we need to do. Strike the ground how you know how to do. Strike the ground. It doesn't have to be literal. It can be pushing, it can be moving forward, it can be going past our fears, going past our barriers, going past the very thing that has held you back for many years. But if there was ever a moment, right now is the moment, church, to strike the ground and get our victory. Why don't we all stand to our feet? And I just want to do altar prayer. If you just want to come to the altar, if somebody wants to play, that too. But we're going to, if there's something this today that you've been, that's been holding you back, I really believe that today could be a day of breakthrough. Today could be a day, and as a family all together, say, you're not alone. But we'll strike with you the ground. We'll strike with you the ground. So if this is you, just come to the altar and just say, God, this thing has been holding me back. If this is you today, then just say, God, I believe in this moment as being the moment, God, that you can radically change my loved one's life. This city, God. I'm believing, God, for a moment to be right now, God, to be today, Lord, with all our strength and all our mind. We say nothing will stop us, Lord, but your hand is over us. Your hand is over this, God, and I believe, Lord. I believe, God, and I will not hold back, Lord. I will not hold back, but I hold on to the promises that you said, Lord. And we strike today, Lord. We strike the ground, Lord, believing in the great promise that you have for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.